Run the track!
Welcome to Foster the Podcast.
Oh, no!
What did we say it was? 205 episodes.
Yep.
Divided by what?
52.
Why 52?
Because that's how many weeks are in a year.
God, I'm an idiot.
Whoa, bro.
Jesus. Whoa. Almost 4 years. 3.94 years we've been doing Foster the Podcast.
Really close to 4 years.
Wow. Speaking of Foster, welcome to Foster the Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Foster. My co-host, life coach, Christy Marie.
Hi, guys.
Sound guy, Ivan.
Hi.
We have a wonderful guest on today from Canada, DJ Dimmers. What's up, man?
How you doing?
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. Good to be here.
I like you did the opposite after the election. You left Canada. you did the opposite of what everyone said they were going to do.
Yeah, I like to do exactly the opposite of what everyone else is doing. Like, oh, everyone wants to come to Canada? Well, guess what? I'm going into the muck.
I'm fucking leaving.
Like on the inside, yeah.
How long you been here?
I moved here permanently December 1st.
Shit.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, right after that fateful day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But I was actually here like before I actually fully moved on election day. I was in New York City for some shows. So I was in New York City when the whole election went down. And
I was in Alabama.
Two vastly different experiences.
I was in the middle of it.
Fireworks.
You didn't feel the immense sadness I felt in New York, I bet. Everyone was really, there were like flags at half mast the next day after the election.
I felt immense sadness only because I was in Alabama. Though it had nothing to do with anything, just being in Alabama.
Just general sadness in Alabama. Just alienating all your Alabama listeners right off the top of the episode.
We lost all three of them. A couple of weeks ago, we lost the animal rights listeners.
Yeah.
Last week, we lost the... the people that were into butts, the dudes that were into butt stuff.
Yeah. No, we supported them.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We did
gave them
that.
Lots of love.
You lost the support of dudes who are into butt stuff?
We had an article. We had a woman who wrote in about her husband was into butt stuff, and she did it because she loves her husband. And then she was like, yeah, now it's kind of weirded me out. Like, she went along with it for like a little, like, I think twice it was. Yeah. And then she was like, okay, we're about done with this. How do I tell him that I'm now not comfortable with this?
And
that's an interesting scenario.
Right, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know, because it's like you want to do what your partner is into to keep them happy, but like if you don't want to do butt stuff, that's a tough thing to do, just to assess your partner.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's such a good point.
Like, I'll do it twice, but come on, man. I really got to do this for the rest
I
of
hate
my
trilogies.
Life.
Yes.
You know, I'm not too into, to get pretty personal right now,
sure.
I'm not too into butt stuff.
Right.
Like
medium
personally,
butt stuff?
I don't want stuff in my butt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I sometimes wonder if that's just because, like, I don't want it or I haven't fully, like, what if I love stuff in my butt and I don't even know it.
Well, Chris, you brought up an industry point last week is how guys, we just escalate too fast. So you would start with like a little tight and then by like the end of the week, you're like, all right, only butt stuff always.
True. It is true. We
giant,
do escalate too quickly. It's like, oh, this girl likes when I do this. Well, now I'm going to do that 100% of the time.
I'm only going to do that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
That is a thing that happens too.
Yeah, you have to consciously tell yourself, like, okay.
You got
to
switch it up a little bit.
Yeah, don't do this every time.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the way men work, right? Is like you like what you like, and there's no need to like really
switch it up.
I haven't listened to a new song in 20 years. I got my 8 songs. What do I?
Same restaurants.
Yeah, exactly.
Order the same thing.
Yeah, I listen to Neil Young at this diner on this corner. I go home. I do the same butt stuff every night. That's my day. I'm a man, damn it.
But that's so not women. Like, we do not want the repetition of it's not like I like it when you do it at this angle every time, so only do that.
Yep. But isn't there some comfort in like
consistency,
habits, and ritual? Like, for example, if one position brings you to climax more than any other position, don't you want that more than all the other ones that aren't doing?
Yes, but probably the lead up to that is it's about the variety being the spice of life. Like, I think that's
Well, here's what I'm saying.
Ivan seems to have a really strong opinion.
I'm sick of this is what I want. But also, you need to surprise me.
Yeah,
I'm like,
do this, but don't always do this.
Do this, but like, I don't want to know that you're going to do this.
Yep.
But that's kind of the way our anatomy works too. Like if something is done to a penis that feels good, it's going to feel good every time. Whereas with women, like it's much more complicated.
Yeah, it depends if they talk to their mom that day or not.
Yeah. Yes. Who got eliminated on The Bachelor? Yeah, there's a lot of factors in it.
You know how complex women's minds are. It's all tied into The Bachelor results.
It is.
No, it's good though, especially in long-term relationships, to like, even if it's not necessarily your favorite position, to be like, well, let's throw this in there.
Sure.
So we're not doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Every time.
See, I'm so like, I'd be like totally fine with that. Like the same, because I guess just routine and habit. Right. Like this, do this, and then that, and that's the end.
Hey,
right?
Because you're a dude.
Yeah. I mean, I still have, and I still do am adventurous. But if, yeah, you know, I'm not opposed to butt stuff. Two times, not three times. I'm not an animal. But, but yeah, I guess it is a thing. I always forget that women's anatomy works differently than like that. Mm-hmm. Like guys, like, oh, this feels good if I do this.
Right.
And then this is going to happen if I do this long enough.
Right.
And then women are like, well, the thing that worked yesterday isn't working today. And the thing that's going to work tomorrow, I want differently today.
Right.
Well, we always talk about how women are more complex and how like their sexuality is more tied into their mental state. Mm-hmm. But I totally underestimated how much my mentality impact, like only recently in the last couple of years have I been like, oh, why am I, you know, not as horny as I should be right now? I'm like, oh, I think I'm depressed. Whereas before I would have been like, you know, doesn't matter if I'm sad, like, let's do this. I'm ready. Whereas now I'm like, oh, my brain does play some sort of role in this whole thing.
I think it's an age thing too, as you get older too. Cause like when you're young, like you're like being depressed, like you could have sex after a funeral, you know what I mean? And now you're like, well, I need to mourn a little bit.
Yeah. Or like, you know, I need to, that used to be how I mourned.
Yeah, exactly.
My grandpa died. I gotta fuck.
Yes. I gotta get rid of the pain. But yeah, you're right though. I'm the kind of the same way too now. Like I'll get like, I had a hard day and this thing didn't go. I'm just not. I feel like a woman now. Like you got to romance me first, okay? I've had a long day.
Yeah,
that's called being sober.
Yeah, yeah. You got to give me a massage.
But it goes along with how you feel about relationships, does it not? Like before, short, whatever, relationships were no big deal. Now you look for something deeper, just like, you know, your mentality matures along with your sexuality as well.
For sure. And I think I was probably a terrible lover like 10 years ago.
Oh, right. Yes.
Like, because now I'm like, if I don't bring my lady to, you know, I'm not saying I make her orgasm 100% of the time, but that is my desired goal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if I don't, I'm like, oh, man. Whereas before, I hate to admit it, but I was like, damn, I came. That was amazing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Sorry,
get on board.
Yeah. And you know, just to get, I'm getting personal right after that, but I value my erection so much lately because I was on Propecia for like a year because my hair was thinning. I'm like, I got to nip this in the butt.
Sure.
And it fucked with my dick.
I've heard that.
And it didn't. And you tell yourself, you're like, oh, this is maybe placebo. Maybe maybe it's because I'm thinking about it. But then I went off it. And within like 3 weeks, I was like back to where I used to be.
Back to normal.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Because I convinced myself, no, I think this is always what it was like. Like maybe it didn't get that hard. Or I wasn't getting morning wood or anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I don't think I've had morning wood for a while. And then another part of my brain was like, you had morning wood.
Yeah.
So yeah, now every morning I wake up, not necessarily every morning, but when I wake up and I got a hard dick, like I can hear like angels. It's like, so I'm like, I will never take you for granted again, man. I don't care. I'd rather be like a bald dude with a rockin' dick.
Exactly.
Than,
thank you.
You know?
Right. You wake up with an erection, but like a little bit more hair on the pillow. You're like, yeah, well, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. I don't give a shit.
Yes.
Yeah, I wiped that hair off the pillow with my erect penis.
For real, though. Yeah, I'll shave it before I lose that.
Oh, my God. It's like, it's such a, and the thing is, the numbers on Propecia, which is a brand I was using, they're like, oh, it's actually a placebo effect because like when we did this clinical study, 40% of men who had heard about the sexual side effects, they noticed something.
Uh-huh.
They're like, but in actuality, when we don't tell them anything, only 9% of guys experience it. But I'm like, 9%? You're using that as your good number?
Right.
9%?
Right. Mm-hmm.
No way, man.
Buy a hat.
Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's, so yeah, just wanted to let you guys know I'm really valuing my erection.
We're glad. We're glad you're back to normal.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks. Feels good.
Your hair looks great, too.
Oh, thank you very much.
I like that receding hairline look.
Yeah?
Yeah, it looks good.
The thing is, when it keeps receding, it's not a look anymore.
Right. It's a lifestyle, yeah.
Commit.
Yeah. All right, so we do sponsors on this show. We always, this Propecia, we like to give it now. I'm kidding.
What if you're like, no.
Love you, Propecia.
How long, so I like that I saw all of you guys last night, by the way. I knew that we're going to be struggling this morning. I saw our guest DJ at the Comedy Store last night at like 11?
Yeah.
And then I saw Ivan, our sound guy, at like 1 a.m. at another show across town.
I was there till 3.
You stayed there till 3?
Yeah.
How is comedy different in Canada versus L.A.?
It's really hard for me to gauge as of yet because I'm still kind of finding my way in the L.A. scene. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm from Toronto and I've been doing it there for 7 or 8 years, so I could kind of get on 2 or 3 shows a night based on my standing in the community.
Sure.
Whereas now I'm, you know, still trying to reach out to people and get booked every night. So it's hard for me to make like a direct comparison. Mm-hmm. But I mean, LA just feels, every show feels a bit more important, for lack of a better word. Like, I'm not saying all the shows are great. I've seen some horrible open mics as well. But, you know, in Toronto, you can do 1 million shows and you can have the set of your life and nothing's really going to happen from it. There's not enough of a film and TV industry to kind of take that next step. Mm-hmm. There's nobody who's going to come up to you and be like, oh, I loved your style. I think we can transfer that to a sitcom.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Whereas in LA, and like I said, I haven't been here long enough to really notice this, but I feel like there's that underlying feeling of
people are always watching.
The American dream. Maybe this will be, you know, the set that gets me that sitcom or whatever. So that's kind of why I moved here. Whether or not that proved to be true, I have no idea. But that's my feeling right now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. When you, by the way, you have one of the best Conan sets that I think that I've seen. You know, Drew Lynch. Obviously, you guys worked together. He showed it to me. He was like, "This is like a perfect." This is what a late night set is, and I watch it. And if you guys haven't seen it, please, is it on your website? Can people find
it? It's on my website. Yeah,
go look. Especially if you do comedy, like watch that. That to me, that's like the perfect late night set. Did you get that when you were in Canada, or did you had to get it when you were back here?
I got that on probably the greatest night of my life. Uh-huh. I did, you know, New Faces at Just for Laughs.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, they have one called Homegrown, which is like the Canadian New Faces, and they make it a competition, so there's like an actual winner as well, whereas New Faces, it's just a bunch of people showcasing with, it's not a competition. So I did Homegrown. I was in that in 2014, and that's not televised, it's just a competition, and I won that, which was great, which is a huge honor in Canada, and Just for Laughs. So I won, and then right after I won, the people at Just for Laughs came up to me in the green room and said, "Do you want to tape that set for TV tomorrow night?" Which is like not usually what happened.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Of course." And then 5 minutes after that, the booker for Conan came up to me and said, "Do you want to do that set?"
No
on Conan?
Shit.
Nice. Yeah, all like on the same night. So,
wow.
Yeah, so I booked it at Just for Laughs in Canada.
So you won Just for Laughs, booked Conan. Got your morning wood back. The same day.
No, at that time, I was still taking my morning wood for granted. Oh. Yeah. I wasn't even thinking about that. The world was my oyster. So I booked it in Canada.
That's awesome.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
So you came down here and filmed it. And then you addressed the fact that you wear hearing aids. Is that something you feel you have to do right off the top of the shows?
Yeah. It's something I've always kind of, an idea that I've always kind of gone back and forth on. Like sometimes I'm like, you know what, if I'm doing like a headlining set, I'm going to talk for 20 minutes without ever mentioning them so they know I'm funny and then I'll get into it. But then that can also backfire because maybe those jokes only get like maybe 80% of what I think they deserve because 20% of the audience's brain is devoted to like, what are those things? Is he going to mention them? So I feel it's necessary just from perspective of making sure that they can completely focus on my jokes, just to get it out of the way right off the top. I'd love to get to a level where my audiences know me and I don't even really have to mention it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But for now, I feel a need to bring it up, even if like briefly off the top and then go into other
things.
That's
funny. Did you, you say when you take them out, you're completely deaf?
Not completely, but might as well be. Yeah. Like, very, very deaf.
Have you ever done a show where like you forgot them or like they like?
Do you
stopped
know
working?
About this story? Is that what you really don't know? Oh man! So I was staying at somebody's house when I first moved to LA at the end of November. I didn't have my own place yet. I was looking for an apartment. And they were letting me stay in their guest house, which was their garage, detached from the place.
Okay. And this is here in Los Angeles?
Yeah, in Burbank.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. It was our mutual friend, Barb.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Yes.
And I went to take a shower. And Barb and her husband were gone. They were in Claremont, like 2 hours away. Mm-hmm. And they don't even have a key to lock the house. They just don't lock it.
Okay.
So there wasn't even, they're like, you never have to lock the door. There's no keys, anything. So anyway, I go in just in a towel into the main house to take a shower. Uh-huh. I come back out and I had locked myself out of the garage.
Oh no.
Where everything was, including my hearing aids, my clothes, my phone. And all I have is a towel and there's no key. They specifically told me we don't even know where the keys are. It's been 20 years.
And they're 2 hours away.
Yeah. And I don't even have a phone to contact them.
Right.
So I didn't know what to do. And I went in and luckily, Dave, her husband had a, old iPhone in the house with like a cracked screen that's still connected to Wi-Fi. So I'm like looking through this cracked screen and I find the host of the show, Jose, who's my friend. And I'm like, dude, I'm screwed. I got no clothes, no hearing aids. I can't. And I was headlining two shows Flappers that night. And he's like, well, I can call you an Uber if you want. I'm like, you don't understand.
I'm in a towel.
Right.
I'm deaf. I'm naked. You know, and he's like, well, let me know what you want to do. So I tried to get into the garage for like an hour.
Sure.
I was like using like I was looking at old YouTube videos on Dave's cracked screen. Like about, I'm like, oh, okay. You just take a paper clip and you shove it in and you're in. I couldn't even hear anything. I'm like, oh, and like I'm such an idiot. When I found a paper clip, I was like, oh, my problems are all solved. And I'm trying to use a paper clip naked while in my towel outside in the backyard. I couldn't get in. And then finally, I was like, well, you know, I've never even left my house. Never mind, did a comedy show without my hearing aid in my whole life. I've been wearing it since I was four. Never. I leave the house, I got my hearing aid in. Right. I don't want to be deaf when I don't need to be, right?
Right.
But I said, screw it. This will be an opportunity to scare myself. And so I threw on Dave's shirt and pants. And Jose called me an Uber to the club. And I did two 20-minute headlining sets completely deaf. And it was scary as hell. Right. And I think they were laughing. But it was an interesting experience. Yeah. And then, of course, Jose drives me home after the show. He grabs a butter knife and he opens the door in like 30 seconds.
No.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Of course. I'm like, I'm such an idiot. Yes. Well, I didn't even think of a knife. I was like breaking paper clips open and trying to get my
Mission Impossible.
Yeah, exactly. I could hear that music in my head while I was doing it.
While you're in a towel.
So, yeah, that was the only time I've ever left the house and or done comedy without my hearing aid.
God, it's terrifying.
Yeah. And the scariest part was actually between shows, because on stage I can just talk.
Right.
There's no two-way conversation. There doesn't have to be, at least. But between shows, comedians are like trying to talk to me and stuff, and I'm like, sorry. And then one girl was like, oh, you can't hear? I'm like, no. So she starts signing at me. Uh-huh. I can't do sign either. I never learned
to do that either.
So I'm just like, I appreciate what you're doing right now, but I'm very bad at being deaf.
So learned to sign. So at four, you got your hearing aids. You're like, I can hear. Yeah, so screw it. So
fuck all you deaf people. We don't need to talk. No, I grew up, nobody in my family was deaf. So I took a couple classes like maybe 5 years ago because I was like, I should probably learn.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, I didn't hang out with any deaf people after the class, so I just lost it all. I don't remember any of it.
Right. Dude, yeah. This poor girl, she was probably so excited. She was probably taking like so many like community classes about it. Like, oh, finally I get to use it. And you're like, yeah, no, sorry.
Yeah. Well, it's like, yeah, if you learn it and then don't use it, like, and I don't even mean like after the full class is over. I mean, literally that night when I would leave, if I wasn't going home and using it with people, it was just like, I grew up in Canada. You had to take French every year in school. So I took French 10 straight years. I don't know a lick of French. I don't remember. No. Well, I wasn't going home and using French. Why? Right. I didn't need to learn it.
See, I'm learning Russian right now, and I can't wait to see Ivan just tell him like the one or two words that I've learned that week. Like, I'm so excited to do it with Ivan. He's like, yeah, you're getting there.
Do you find it hard to like learn things now? Like, how old are you, Justin?
I'm 36.
So do you find it hard to learn at 36?
It's easier now.
Really?
Yeah, my mind's like in a different place now.
You're sober too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Man, I gotta get sober. I can't learn shit.
Stuff start sticks.
You gotta do shit. To, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You gotta replace it. Yeah. You gotta replace, cause my mind was always like, where's the party at? Where's the bar at? And it was, you know, drunk and hungover. And so now I'm like, I have a lot of open space in my mind right now. I can't have these thoughts running around. So I got to replace it with other things.
You got to learn Russian.
Yeah. This is...
And are you having fun?
Yeah, I'm having a blast.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because that's the main thing. I enjoy life, and this sounds so horrible, but I'm like, if I got rid of all my vices, would I still have fun?
Yeah. It takes a minute.
I'd be smarter and healthier, but would I enjoy myself?
It takes a minute. You have to relearn how to have fun.
Are you sober as well?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it takes away, like, everything you used to do for pleasure is gone. So you have to, you're like, what the hell do I like to do? Like, you mm-hmm. literally spend 3 months like, what the hell do I even like to
Who
do with
I?
My time?
Yeah. Yeah, relearn literally everything.
Yep. You try stuff. I went bowling one time. I'm like, nope, this isn't it.
Nope.
Really? I think I would just exclusively bowl. I love bowling. That was actually when you said, what do I like to do? My brain was like, bowling.
Bowling, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
It's like the go-to thing. And I was like, I don't like that. I don't care for this at all. Yeah.
So what's your thing?
What did I start doing? I started doing yoga and hikes and... I don't know, movies and puzzles. You just puzzles. Start doing, yeah.
You're really selling me on this sobriety thing.
That's sober do puzzles.
That's sober do
you
puzzles.
You know what I actually would love? I've been doing a lot of crosswords lately, and I'm loving it. Yeah, so I'm sorry for mocking really? Your puzzles. That was just me trying to sound like a cool guy. Puzzles are great. How long have you been sober?
7 years. Whoa. It'll be 7 years next week.
It's a lot of puzzles.
Yeah, it's a lot of puzzles.
Her whole house is just one big 3D puzzle. Yeah.
Just Legos everywhere. Puzzles.
And how long have you been sober?
I just celebrated 3 years.
3 years.
3 years.
Ivan, are you sober?
No.
Well, you did say you're Russian earlier, right? You're not allowed to be sober.
It's by law. They can't.
Yeah.
If I was sober, I would have been here on time.
Yeah.
I got here 10 minutes earlier, not forgot my bag at home, had to go home. Mm-hmm.
It's all right. We're both sober. We were 30 minutes late, too, so it doesn't matter. It's
sorry I'm late. I just had to get these last few pieces in this puzzle. It's going to bother me all day.
I had to do one more round of bowling before they shut down. So you're in L.A. now. Are you dating anybody right now? Are you single?
Yeah, I got a girl who moved
really?
Here with me. Yeah.
She came from Canada here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we'd been dating like maybe a month before she moved with me. So
it's
a very, very crazy idea.
That's how I do it.
Mm-hmm. Christy's all about
that's how
that.
I like it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, why not dive head first into it? What am I supposed to do? Be like, I'm moving. See you later.
Yeah.
If she said no, then obviously we would have gone our separate ways. But we wanted to see where it could go.
How old are you?
31. I just turned 31.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, my thing is anything past 26, you just kind of go for it.
Yeah.
Right? Figure it out.
Yeah. It either explodes or it works. Either way, just you got to save time.
Yeah. Well, I've been into quotes lately.
Okay. You
know? And I saw this quote by Amelia Earhart that said, every adventure is worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's cheesy. Mm-hmm. But I was like, it'll be an adventure. It'll be worthwhile. I'll learn something from it, even if it goes horribly awry.
Absolutely.
Her,
pardon me?
How'd that end up for her?
Amelia Earhart, she's a legend. I just read quotes. I don't read biographies. I'm assuming she's still alive and well.
She's doing great.
She's
going to be at the Comedy Store tonight. Everything's fine. She's you're into quotes. You would be a great sober guy. You're already on your way.
Oh, yeah.
You're like bowling
just
and quotes.
Around platitudes
you'll be
and
fine.
Quotes. But I got a lady. We're living together. And
would you guys meet?
Great. Pardon me?
Where'd you guys
meet? We've known each other for like 6 or 7 years, but we were just always friends, and then we were in our own relationships and stuff, and then sometimes maybe we'd hook up and be more than friends and then go back to our respective lives, but then, and she was in a different city, I was in a different city, but we always were kind of, we've always liked each other a lot, you know? I mean, can I say loved each other? I believe I can.
You can.
She's always been super cool.
Is this an exclusive? Are we getting the love word here first?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. That way you never have to say it to her. Just have her listen to this episode.
No. We've said it very early on to each other, actually. Jumped right into that whole love thing. But it's going great.
That's rad.
Mm-hmm. My last relationship, I was always kind of like one toe in, one toe out. So this one, I was like... just do it.
Yep.
Dive right in.
Yep. Awesome.
Dig it.
Well, I guess I should announce I'm moving in with mine.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about that yet.
Yep.
So that's a Fossil
Posse. How long
were
you together
exclusive.
Before you moved in?
I'm gradually moving in now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And how long have you been together?
It's been about a year.
Okay.
Yes, but I think by the time like we sign the lease, it'll be exactly a year. And I told Christy about it. She's like, yeah, you should have already been there.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, 6 months ago, Justin. He's like, is it too soon? I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Yeah. You're old as shit, Justin. Move in.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know. She let me. I've already started gradually moving. She already let me move my drum set in here. So, like,
yeah.
Any chick is going to let you do that, like, you should, like, dive head first in.
Is it an electronic drum set?
Yeah, it's right there. You want to play it afterwards?
Yeah, well, I actually am curious because I want to get an electronic drum set, but I live above people, and I'm wondering if how loud they are. Will it bother the people below?
No, it's great.
No?
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, man, I'm going to play that.
We actually let all our guests play it for 5 minutes.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's probably.
I'm not very good at drums, but I love them so much.
Hey,
I want
to get sober, you can learn how to play drums.
You know what? Yeah. I'm going to get sober and become a drummer.
There you go.
Fuck comedy. That's what drummers are known for, their sobriety.
I was at a Christmas party for work, and they had the DJ, and they just rented a mansion. It was like a 13-bedroom mansion.
Uh-huh.
There was a DJ, and he was doing his thing. Right next to the DJ, a drum set.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was so fun.
Was there a guy playing it?
No. So people would just take turns. Some people didn't know how to play, but the ones that did, like, we would just sit down. And I think I played it for like half hour. I'm like, I can't stop.
Oh, that's cool.
So
that's
awesome. Everyone's dancing. You're playing drums. You're like connected to everything.
Yeah, like I'm a rock star.
Oh, man. Drum set at parties is the new thing.
It's crucial. Yep. That's funny.
Nice.
Yeah, so when you were dating and stuff, do you have any, like, so you obviously went respected ways and you would date other people and you go back to her and you would date other people. So in between, do you have like bad date stories? Do you have girls that you've gotten out? Anything memorable?
Yeah, well, a few. So the one happened like 4 years ago. I was, about 4 years ago, I was like 27. I was doing an open mic, like a weekly open mic in Toronto. I was hosting it. And one of the servers there, we, you know, started talking. And then, but her boyfriend would be hanging around too. And then the one night she was like, you want to go on a date sometime?
Oh, she asked you out?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And I was like, but her boyfriend wasn't there that night. But I was like, isn't that guy your boyfriend? She's like, yeah, we have an open relationship.
Oh.
That was my first encounter with an open relationship.
Sure. Yep.
And I was like, well, this is weird because I was becoming friends with him too. Forget his name. Forget her name too, actually. But
it's probably for the best.
It's fine.
Yeah. Unless I have to edit out later.
But I was like, I guess if you're saying it's cool, then yeah, we'll do this date. And we went out and we had some drinks at a bar, and then afterwards I was like, you want to come back to my place? She's like, sure. So she came back, and I was living in a studio at the time. Uh-huh. So second you walked in, I mean, we're in the bedroom.
Sure. Right.
Yeah.
There's no gradually getting into it. It's like, well, there's the bed.
Right.
It's also the couch. So
And here we are.
Also the kitchen. We're in there, and then we started kissing and everything, and then And then I forget what we did. Maybe my hand went under her shirt, whatever the next level was. And she was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I was like, well, we don't have to do that if you don't want to.
Right.
And she's like, no, I want to. It's just that I told my boyfriend that we would only be kissing tonight. And I'm like, oh, that's how your relationship works? She's like, yeah, I tell him like what the max is I'll do, and then I stick to that. And I'm like, okay, that doesn't seem that fun.
Right.
But
yeah.
I mean, if those are the parameters. Of,
sure.
Okay. And she's like, but, you know, I want to do more. And I'm like, well, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. She's like, I'm going to call him and say,
no!
Yeah. And I'm like, what?
No.
Oh, no.
Nope.
Yeah.
You give her Dave's cracked iPhone.
No.
I was like, I don't understand.
So
I can't believe this should even happen. So I got up and walked to the corner of the room, which is like only 5 feet away from her laying on the bed.
Right.
And she's like, yeah, and she's calling him. She's like, yeah, hi, hey, baby. Yeah, yeah, I'm here. I'm at his apartment right now, actually. We're having a good time. Hey, listen, he want to do, she said, I want to.
Yeah,
said,
of course.
He want to do more than just kissing. Is that okay? Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, love you. See you, baby. She hangs up, and she's like, yeah, he says no, sorry. And I'm like, okay, and then she's like, okay, so we can keep kissing. And I'm like, I'm kind of done.
Yeah,
this whole thing's gross as shit. How about you get out instead?
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a weird one. And then I canceled my open mic shortly thereafter.
Sure, of course.
Not just because of her. It was a bad open mic, but that was like the nail in the coffin. I'm like, I don't need to be seeing them anymore.
That's weird.
It is not a real thing.
That's
weird.
Yeah,
I was like, this doesn't seem like how an open relationship should work.
Right.
No. I'd rather you cheat on me than call me.
Yeah.
Just do it. It's okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to French kiss. Yeah. Do they have to, well, for 15 to 20 minutes and then. That's so crazy.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Like, imagine being the boyfriend or right. the girlfriend in that case when they're leaving. Like, remember, only kissing tonight. Yeah.
Only butt stuff.
Yeah. And then the whole time they're no gone, kissing. You only know exactly stuff. What's happening.
Yeah, but he might yeah. be into that. He might like that. Okay, I'm setting her parameters. Look, she's calling me.
I'm still in charge. Is, yeah. yeah.
It might be their
power thing. You're right, actually. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, that's crazy.
Just date other people. Just don't be exclusive.
Right.
So... do you guys think open relationships can work?
No.
No, I'm pretty... I just don't get it.
I want to say yes because I like to... because I'm sure that there are people that make it work. Yeah. I personally don't know how... I couldn't do it, and I don't personally know anybody who does. I know people that have tried it in the beginning. And
right.
And it's a good idea for a while, and then... it's not.
I'm sorry, but I don't believe you. If you tell me that it's working, I just don't believe
when
you.
When you're young,
yeah,
inherently,
I think your relationship is not as strong as it should be.
Right.
If you're like, our open relationship is working. I'm like, so you guys don't love each other that much then?
Right.
Like,
right.
It's just the way my brain works. But I'm also kind of like, sometimes I wonder if monogamy is the way that humans are supposed. So like, I go both ways. I'm like, mm-hmm. open relationships don't work. And then I'm also like, but monogamy?
But
my entire
reason.
Life?
Yeah.
But I've hell? Seen monogamous relationships work. I've seen people in happy, healthy, monogamous relationships. I have never seen two people in an open relationship. Like I said, like, be dating, but just don't be boyfriend and girlfriend. Just be one of the people that each other sees. Don't try to have a monogamous relationship and this other thing, too. Yeah. Like, pick one. You know what I mean?
I was doing a show at a club, and in the third row, there was a man and a woman on either side of him. So I started talking to him to learn what the relationship was. And they were like a trifecta.
I was at the show. Right. I opened for you.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
The couple, they were stage.
Yeah, on the
stage,
right.
Stage,
right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
You remember? The guy had been with the girl for 14 years, uh-huh. the woman on his right. And then the woman on his left, they'd been together 9 years.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so they were all together.
But that's something completely different. That's still a committed relationship. It just happens to be between three people.
Even that one was weird though, because he was sitting closer to the girl, the yeah. woman he had been with for 14 years.
Right.
The one that he'd been with for 9 years had this like gap between
yeah,
him and
right.
her.
And that's
he lived with the one that he'd been with for 14 years.
Right.
And that's what I was going to say. Whenever that dynamic is in place, there's always one person who's always a little sad.
Yeah.
Every time mm-hmm. I've seen it, there's always that one person that's like, well, I would kind of like more,
mm-hmm. yeah.
but because of this, I can't. But it's cool.
You're like yeah. predominantly the person on the side.
Yeah.
You're like always this guy's permanent side chick.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's always going to love her more.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I remember that show. That was a very weird dynamic because the one girl on the right was like way young too, right?
Yeah, she was a lot younger.
Yeah, that's
maybe
right.
10 years younger than the guy and the other woman.
The husband and the wife and then the girlfriend.
Yeah, I just don't. Well, even like, so like my lady and I have been like officially dating for a couple months, but mm-hmm. we were seeing each other a bit before that, but we were both also in other relationships. So,
right.
You know, there's a little bit of overlap there.
Right.
But but in the beginning, when we first started seeing each other, we were like, maybe we'll do like threesomes and have some fun because we're both, you know,
yeah,
sexual right. beings. But within like a month or two, it was like, you want us to? It's like, oh, God, no.
right, yeah.
Yeah, no, I can't see you kissing somebody else right. or anything more than that. And it's amazing how quickly it happened. In the beginning, it was like, let's have some fun.
Sure,
and then
yeah.
within like a month, it's like, if you even hug another person.
You better
right,
call me.
I'll kill everything. But it's because you loved her, right? If
yeah.
you didn't love her, then who gives a shit? It probably would have been fun. You could have gone on for months and months and months because there wasn't that level of affection there.
Yeah.
So if you are inviting other people in, like, just you don't really like that person that much, leave them and be with someone who you care about more.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If you're listening to the show, though, and you have made it work or you're currently
Absolutely.
Making it work, write in, please.
Please
and
do.
Tell us your situation because I would love to. I love being wrong. I'm often
yes,
wrong.
Absolutely.
All the time. So if you're in this and you're making it work, info@justincomic.com or the Facebook page, Foster the Podcast, because I'm interested in that. Because you see the MTV shows and you see the real life and the sex and then all these shows and it, people out there are making it work. I just personally don't know anybody.
Right.
That's it.
Yep.
And I couldn't imagine seeing the girl that I love or thinking about the girl I love hooking up with other people.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if that makes us closed-minded or if that's just the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah. I don't know. So you guys living together, are there any did you guys live? You guys didn't live together in Canada.
No.
So you guys moved to a different country and moved in together.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
No stress at all.
Right.
Just right into it.
But you know what? It hasn't been stressful at all. At all. It's been like, I've just been in a state of bliss since I got here. But part of the reason is because I haven't been working hard enough. I've just been like, we've been in our little cocoon. I go out like enough to do comedy, but I need to hit the grind harder. And when I do, then we're really going to see how strong this thing is.
Yeah, when you're gone at night.
Because it's one thing for her to be like, of course, you know, you're a comedian. You got to be out every night. It's one thing to say that. Because I've been with girls before who were like, of course.
Yep.
And then when you actually do it, they're like, I'm lonely. And it's not like they're wrong. It's like, that's why you're with somebody. You want a companion.
Right.
So it's like, you're out every night. And it's like, I kind of have to be. So right now there is no stress, but I'm waiting to see.
Does she have a visa?
Oh, you know.
That's why you're stress-free.
She's a visitor. That's another thing weighing on us. She doesn't have a visa.
Right. Yeah.
So,
what about Pointer? Since you've been doing it a little bit longer than me, do you have any advice?
For in terms of what?
Like living with somebody, newly living with somebody.
Oh, I've lived with a few girlfriends. I've always kind of moved in pretty quickly, and then those relationships didn't work. So I don't know if you want to take my advice, Justin, but my advice would be, well, actually, I heard this John Mulaney, one of my favorite comedians, he was talking to Pete Holmes on his podcast about how he makes his relationship work, and I tried to internalize what he said. It was just two words. You know, I love a good short quote. pay attention. So that's what I try to do, like pay attention to her, and if I'm consciously trying to figure out what's on her mind and what state of mind she's in, then it won't be like 3 weeks before I realize she's feeling neglected or whatever. It might be 2 days or however. So I'm trying to implement that in every aspect of my life. Pay attention.
That's
don't just
perfect.
Go through life thinking you know what's right and that you're on the right path. Like, try to take in everything.
Wow.
Especially
it's
from
absolutely
your partner.
Perfect.
Wow.
Such a good.
Can't take credit for that. That's old John Mulaney. Pay attention.
There you go.
That's nice.
But that's what I'm trying to do right now. And like I said, I'm trying to dive in head first and just like not be afraid to love. So I'm just, I don't know, man. I'm pretty happy right now.
Awesome.
I love living with, like, being in a house full of love with somebody that you wake up, you go to bed, I don't know, man.
It feels good.
You caught me at a good time right now, man.
good. It does feel good, though, man.
Yeah,
it's, it does. Even coming in at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning after doing comedy, just crawling into bed with somebody and then waking up with them, like, it always it just feels right.
Oh, yeah.
Good for you, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
You're killing it, man. You're doing, I think when last I saw you in South Carolina, was that where we're at?
Yeah, we were at University of South Carolina.
That's right, yeah. You do a lot of colleges.
Quite a few, yeah.
What is that like for you? Because I heard that, like, I hear conflicting things, like hang out with the staff afterwards, hang out with the students afterwards, don't hang out with the students afterwards, like be friendly, but don't be too friendly. Do they ever like want to go out and like hang out with you and stuff?
You know what's funny is I've been doing them for like a year and a half now, colleges, and in the beginning, a lot more of the schools were wanting to go out afterwards. Mm-hmm. The last like 10 or 15 I've done, it's just been like, I go and do the show and I go right back to my hotel. They haven't even offered to go out.
Oh, really?
Which is totally fine with me.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm 31 years old. These kids are like 18.
Right.
And they're great. They're awesome. I haven't met one where they've all been amazing, these student leaders who are bringing the comedians in. But I don't need to be hanging out with 18-year-olds.
Right, yeah.
There's only two things that can happen, complete boredom or something even worse.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you never do that college again.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, when I first started going out, I was like, oh, this is going to be like Animal House or old school or something.
Right. And that's what I think when you think of I do colleges. Like, oh, it's got to be insane.
Hot college girls walking around and I'm going to be the big man on campus.
Yeah.
And then you
Van Wilder.
There. Yeah, exactly. And then you get there and you're like, well, I'm 31 and these kids are an entirely different generation than me. So I'm going to do just my hour of comedy propecia. And I'm going to go back to my hotel.
Just slanging my propecia.
Yeah, exactly.
Bowling, doing puzzles.
Yeah.
Anybody else having dick problems from the propecia? You guys relating to any of this?
Am I right?
So it's really fun. The shows themselves are great. The students are great. But in terms of hanging out or anything, nah, I'm pretty much all business when I do the colleges.
Good.
Which is fun.
Good. So when you do comedy and you travel and stuff, obviously it's always good doing clubs and stuff and doing nice colleges when you get paid. I don't know if in the beginning, is there any gigs that you can remember that you just absolutely regret doing or just like hell gigs personally?
Oh man, I've done so many bad gigs. Yeah. I think you have to as a comedian,
I
right?
know. I just assume that every gig in Canada, they're like just super nice and they pay you and the audience is just super friendly.
God, no.
No?
They pay you? Are you kidding me? Why do you think we all have to move down here, man? There's no money. They're not giving any money to comedians, man. Canada doesn't treat their comedians well. You know what's funny about Canada is they like to always say, like, look at all the amazing talent we produce. Jim Carrey, Mike Myers, Howie Mandel. You go further back, like Dan Aykroyd. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, Norm MacDonald, the prevailing trend with all these people is they moved to America.
Yeah, yeah. Canada.
So we don't value, Canada doesn't value any of that unless you make it in America. And then they're like, look at yeah. what we produce. It's yeah. like, why don't you? So no, Canada, I love Canada as a country, but it has a lot of work to do in nurturing comedic talent or any talent, even the musicians. So many amazing musicians come out of Canada, but they got to move to America.
They gotta come here first.
But yeah, so I've done some horrible. One that pops to mind is a couple years ago, I did a Christmas luncheon for firefighters.
Okay.
And it was at 12 in the afternoon.
Sure.
And I went on after a 5-minute video that showed everybody who had died or been seriously injured in the past year.
Why?
So all the lights were down.
Oh no.
And they show this video with sad, you know, Sarah McLachlan.
I was gonna say Sarah McLachlan playing.
And then the video ends and everyone's all somber. And then the lights come on, they're like, and now please welcome our comedian. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. I went up for a half hour and I don't think I got a single laugh.
Right.
Look, cause look, right.
Like,
we just saw Jim. He died. Yeah. Right. So, yes. Yeah. So that was a particularly ridiculous. Bad one. And then in Toronto, I actually don't know if they have these in LA, but in Toronto, there's a bunch of weed rooms. So you do comedy. Yeah.
Yeah.
They actually have the highest attendance out of most of the shows in Toronto because so many podheads going out.
Sure.
Right.
You know.
Literally the highest attendance.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Those are always bad shows because they're way too high.
They're way too high.
They don't laugh.
Yeah. It's like performing for zombies.
Yeah. It's another one of those things, kind of like how we were talking about the colleges. Like you have an idea of like, man, they're going to be laughing at everything.
Yeah.
Nah, they're just burnouts.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you're driving out in the middle of a cold Canadian winter to go somewhere to just sit around and smoke pot, chances are you're not doing it casually to get the giggles. Yeah. You know what I mean?
To like, dabble and get a nice buzz and enjoy comedy.
Right.
Right.
But you know what's funny about that sentiment is in Canada, in Toronto at least, it's not cold compared to a lot of Canada. Yeah. Nobody's ever thinking I'm going to brave this cold night to go out because it just cold all the time. You're not like, oh, do I really want to go out into this cold? You're like, well, it's another night. I'm not going to sit at home. Yeah. Unless it like gets into like crazy freezing temperatures or you're in some crazy cold city like Montreal or Winnipeg or something.
That's where your family's from, right?
Yeah.
Montreal?
Yeah, Montreal.
Love Montreal in the summer.
In the summer, early fall.
Yeah, yeah. But you're right. The type Even of people who are going to these degrees. Weed shows, they're not like, oh, let's try it. They're like, well, you know, time to leave mom's basement.
Right,
She's on my ass about
smoking. Hard to tell punchlines when someone's like rolling a blunt in the front row.
And coughing. There's more coughing than laughter the entire show.
How awkward.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing, man. Well, we're almost out of time, though. But thank you for coming on today, man.
Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely.
I appreciate
it's been a blast. What do you got coming up?
What do I have coming up? This is airing next Monday.
This will be up in a couple weeks, actually. Yeah. Do you just want to plug like your social media and stuff?
Yeah. My name, DJ Demers, DEMERS. I got shows around LA coming up and around the country, too. So check it out.
Awesome. And on your website, go check out DJ's Conan clip. It's absolutely perfect. It's fucking great.
Thanks,
and so your social media one more time is just, it's all at DJ Demers.
Yeah. DJ Demers on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
It's amazing. Dude, thank you so much for coming on today. And welcome to California.
Thank you very much. I'm loving it so far.
Congratulations on moving in with the girl. And whenever you want
to
go.
And good luck to you moving in with you.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Whenever you want
to
go.
Pay attention.
Pay attention. That's what I was about to say. Pay attention is the theme of this week's episode. And whenever you want to go bowling or make puzzles with Christy and I, please just give us a call.
I'll bring the weed and booze.
Perfect. All right. For our show, find us online, Foster the Podcast on iTunes. Go to fosterthepodcast.com. For all my social media, it's Justin Comic across the board. Christy?
At Rowan Moon Reiki.
Ivan?
At Ivan Ishkoff.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Foster the Podcast.